Blog Talk Radio.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Yes.
You there?
Yes.
No.
All right. I want to make sure everybody is there. That's the most important thing.
Okay.
All right.
Reverend Pinckney?
Yes.
Okay. I can hear you now.
Okay. So, yeah, because something was wrong with the studio, but we're back. So, all right. I'll get back with you in a minute, okay? All right, I'll get right back with you in a minute. All right, all is well. All right. Now that's good news. Let's make it happen. All right. You're listening to the Pinckney & Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you, it's always something. We're having a little technical difficulties here, but we want people to know that we are right here and right on point and doing the things that need to be done. Fortunately, the studio, they seem to be having problems because they don't have enough people working at the studio, but we're going to get it done anyway, because I think that is important. So here we go. Have you ever heard of the saying ghetto tax? Ghetto tax is the extra cost incurred for everything, everyday goods, and necessities needed by those living in poverty. Everything that you could think of is, and this is important, everything that you think of is a tax on it, because it goes into the ghetto, or they call the black poor community, and it costs you more just about for everything. You see, they never talk about that, but that is a very, very important thing. It costs you more money living in the ghetto or living in the poor community. And what they do, they tax you on that. They make sure that they are taxing you on that issue. That's what they do. They tax you. And it's not a whole lot you can do, because we don't do the research. You have to be able to do research in order to get things where you need to be, which is very, very, very important, you know. And the thing that's important, we have to make sure that you as a man, that you protect your woman, your children at all costs. You must protect the women and children at all costs, because that's our foundation. That's where we grow. That's where we get stability. That's where we make sure that things are done properly. And that way they understand that we can do whatever we want to do and make it happen. See, but we have to make sure that they're not doing things they shouldn't be doing, like a ghetto tax. All right, you might say there's no such thing as a ghetto tax. It is. Everything we do costs a little bit more, you know. It costs a little bit more. And that's important. That is very, very important. See, what if there was no racism in this world? What if? Can you imagine how that would level the playing field? Can you imagine what would happen if there was no racism? Can you imagine what would happen next if there was no racism? We're here, and we got to make sure that we're doing all the things we need to do, and that is crucial. We got to make sure we're taking care of the business. We got to make sure that we're building a foundation for the future of our children. We got to make sure that we're on top of everything we need to do. Let me say this. You see, we can fix the police problem that we have. You know, we can, first thing we'll do is fix their reputation. See, their campaign to end drugs, the drug war. See, that's what we need to do, have a campaign to end this drug war, because that was part of the problem, you see. They was out here doing whatever they wanted to do. They were doing things that they shouldn't have been done. They were doing all of these things, still getting away with it, you know. And then we have to, all the violent cops, we need to remove them from the force, all of them. Everybody, all the white supremacists, all these people, we need to remove them from the police department. Not demote them. We need to remove them from the police department. And if we can do that, we can be successful. You see, create a national blacklist for all bad cops. Let's create a national blacklist for all bad cops. All, not some. Now, I'm talking about your cousins, your uncles. We're talking about if they're a bad cop, let's get rid of them. You see? Then we have a psychiatric evaluation and drug tests for all cops. All, not some. I'm talking about the lieutenant, the commissioner, everybody. Let's have a drug test, a psychiatric test. Let's find out what they're thinking, you know? And then we got to make sure that if you don't have your camera on a stop, that you be fired. If you do not have your camera on, you be fired. That's right. If you do not have your camera on, you should be fired, regardless what it is, you know. And all these, we got to figure out a way how you can make an arrest without killing black folks. How can you make an arrest and you got to kill a black man? He got to die, you know. He got to die. That's how they do. Even with a traffic stop now, these guys, they have their hands on their gun. I remember I got stopped in Detroit. And the first thing the guy did, he put his hand on the gun. Do you have any weapons on you? I said, do I look like I have any weapons on me? Do I look like it? Oh, I'm just asking. No, you're not asking. What you're trying to do is find a way. That's what you're doing. Have a reason. Your reason to shoot to kill a black man. So we got to clean up the police department. It ain't going to be done by them. I'm going to tell you that right now. It got to be done by you. The people have to take a stand. No more sitting back and watching everything goes on. That is not going to happen. You see, that is not. See, we don't get it. We as black folks. The Black Holocaust from 1619 to 1861. Do you realize more than 15 million Africans were sold into slavery? Over 35 million were killed by slave traders. Do you realize that? And nobody talks about it. You ever hear anybody mention about the Black Holocaust? And they're not going to mention it. They are not going to mention the Black Holocaust. I don't care what you say and do. They're not going to do it. And black people ain't going to mention it either. They so afraid and intimidated by these white devils that they'll do anything. You see, as a black person, see, black people has been robbed of themselves. White folks can't defeat you. They'll trot out a black man, a sample. A bootlicker, buck kicker, buck gang, black person, who they can put out in front of you. Then they'll use the media to make this happen. That's how they do. They use the media to come out and say this person is a good person, knowing he's a bad person. You know, can you imagine all the hell that we have been through, all the drama, all the violence we have been through, all the abuse we have been through, and you want to be a symbol? This is how the Southern Christian white folks used to do it. Every Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, these white folks used to go to church. Every Sunday morning. They don't miss Sunday. See, that's the day they clean their souls out. 11 o'clock to 1 o'clock, they're in church, calling themselves worshiping God. Call themselves worshiping God. At 1 o'clock, they go home and fix their meal. 2 o'clock, they got them a black man that they're going to hang. They hang him from the tree. Cut his balls off. Cut them off. Then they go get the wife, hang her, and if she's pregnant, cut the baby out and stomp the baby until the baby is dead. These are people who black folks want to be alive, be like. Black people want to be just like these people. I don't see it. I don't see how black people could want to be like these folks. I don't see it. You have to help me. Help me understand this. Understand this at all. I don't see black folks being like this. I don't do it. I do not see black people being this way. I just don't do it. I just don't see it. I just don't see it that way. You know. And here's the bad part. White folks used to rape our women at will. And there was, let me get back to this. Nobody went to jail for hanging black people. Nobody. Nobody went to jail for killing a black man. Nobody. And here's the killer part. They used to rape the women at will. And there's nothing you can do. There's nothing in this world you can do. They used to rape the women at will. Whenever they felt like it, they would rape the women. And that's what they did. They would rape the women as often as they chose. Then they'll go get the husband. They rape men, too. Men was getting raped back in them days just like the women. Only men couldn't reproduce. Two men can't reproduce. And then they would go get the daughter, the little child, 8, 19 years old, and rape her. And don't forget, and then the little boy, they'll go get him. And nobody went to jail. And you got the nerve to want to be like them. You know, these samples have gone wild. And I thank God for the Sambo of the Year Award. We have more than 25 cities as of now competing in the Sambo of the Year Award. The Sambo of the Year Super Bowl will kick off February the 1st. And all you have to do is send an email to me at BANCO9342 at SBCGlobal.net. We have my letter C. She's the queen. She's the queen of the sample. Then we have Marcus Muhammad from the Nation of Islam, who I'm shocked that the Nation of Islam have not figured out and kicked that boy out. I'm shocked. They wrote an article in their newspaper where he was lying, saying he was responsible for work that he didn't do, that actually I did, you know. But they put it in the final call, and I called them out on it. So you can almost bet your life on that, you know. And also, you have Dwayne Cease, who actually happened to be a preacher, going around preaching the gospel and the devil himself. So those are the three main ones that you vote. You vote for all three. And we're going up against Houston, Texas, St. Louis, Missouri, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Columbus, Ohio, and Cincinnati, Ohio. We're putting up $500, whoever gets the most votes. Last time, we got 25,000 people to vote for the Sound Boy of the Year Award. And every single city should call these people out. It's crucial. It's crucial that we call these people out and tell them who they are. We can no longer allow them to continue doing the things that they're doing. It's not just to you. It's to your children. It's destroying the foundation of black folks. That's what it's doing. It's destroying the foundation of black folks. And to me, it's nothing worse in this whole wide world than hurting the future of our children. That's what the fight is all about. That's what we're fighting about. That's what we're doing. That's how we're dealing with things right now. We're making sure that we do the things that we need to do. And on that note, don't forget, Sambo Super Bowl kicks off February the 1st. Get your email to me. I'm going up against cities that are much larger, but I think we can beat them. I think we can beat them. We got to stop this. My letter C, Marcus Muhammad, Dwayne C. These are our three champions. I don't think nobody in this world going to beat my Sambo. You ain't going to out-Sambo my Sambo. I don't care what you say. I don't care what you do. You are not going to out-Sambo my Sambo. And don't forget, it's not going to happen. It is not going to happen. No matter what, you're not going to out-Sambo my Sambo. And we're going to get, hey, this is 2024. We're going to get it right, or we're going to die trying. We're going to make sure what happened in 2023 do not happen in 2024 to our people. We are going to build up an army. We are going to build up people willing to fight and take a stand. We are going to do things that's never been done before. And this is things that we can do. Stay focused. Look at the big picture, and we'll take it from there. On that note, I'm going to bring in my first guest, Annette. And we're going to take it from there. So, Annette, talk to me.
Happy New Year and happy Kwanzaa.
All right,
we're gonna
girl.
Blow in 2024. We got the whistleblower, and the money is here, and we are having all pastors to bring your church rolls, and we're getting ready to start disbursing your inheritance from your forefathers and your foremothers. We want everybody to tap on to Jonesboro, Louisiana. We're going to have 18 pastors that are coming together. And make sure your pastor, your church, come on board, and we're going to blow the whistle. Everybody, blow the whistle. Now,
yeah,
what is blow the whistle?
And don't forget to talk to us about the
we're getting ready to let you know.
Yeah.
And Kwanzaa.
So let them people know that this is, you know, it's for real. It's not no game.
Oh, it is for real. This is not no game. And again, we invite you to go on YouTube and pull up 2 years ago where Congress, and this is what you type in, Congress examines nearly $32 trillion hidden offshore Pandora Papers. You're going to see where your congressman and congresswoman had a hearing about our wealth has been stolen and hidden offshore, and now this money is here and it's ready to be distributed, and we need, again, the churches and the pastors to come on board. We are also celebrating Kwanzaa. And this is what we've been saying, Reverend Pinckney, about day three and day four. Day three is collective work and responsibility. Day four is cooperative economics. And what we got to do by that is McDonald's Mondays. No fast food and no McDonald's. Ticket Tuesday. No lottery tickets and no tobacco products. on Ticket Tuesday. Walmart Wednesday. No Walmart, no convenience stores, no Mart stores on Walmart Wednesday. On Thursday, no, we're not going to have no alcohol and no gasoline. It doesn't matter whatever city you may be in. It doesn't matter what city you're in. We want everybody in your city, around the world. This is, again, the diaspora of the black culture. And once we understand not just what we're doing, but why we're doing it, and we're doing it on a daily basis, we have calendars for 2024 that are going to be coming out so you can be able to see exactly what day not to drop. When you understand that you are working collectively with your economic power, this is how we vote. We vote with dollars because the Sambos, I know my Sambos in Columbus, Georgia. We got husband and wife Sambos. We got the Three Musketeers Sambos. We got the big Sambos, little Sambos. We got Sambos in all colors and shapes and sizes that have sold. And like I said, Columbus, Georgia, Phoenix City, Alabama, Las Vegas, Nevada, San Diego, California. These are personal places that I've been and seen how the Sambos have sold the community out, erased our history, and have for personal gain. But we're calling them out all over the world. And that is what the Pandora Papers, please go on, and you will see where 600 journalists went to 117 countries and found now what is being called the Pandora Papers. And we're exposing it now. We are the Pandora leakers. When you see that video with the Congress, they want to know who's the leaker, who's the leaker. Well, we want you to know the whistleblowers, we the leakers, and we're going to blow the whistle. Now, amen. When your pastors are coming, this is going to be money that is going to come every month to you. You're going to get royalties, and you're going to be getting interest. So, again, it's going to be separation of church and state, and we need each pastor. Now, if your pastor is not coming on board, it's very important that you understand that we're working through the churches, so therefore the IRS doesn't get more money than you do, and more than likely your pastor may be the one with the faith-based initiative money that's getting money and making sure that his congregation is not. So, again, on January 28th, Pastor Pinckney has given me that date, and we're going to give you all the information that you're going to be needing. But in between time and in the meantime, please check with us and let us blow the whistle on Facebook. So thank you for the opportunity, Reverend Pinckney, and, of course, for your struggle. That, again, you are the drum major for justice of our generation.
Absolutely, but I want to ask you a question. You know, now you talk about not going to fast food places on a Monday.
Right.
Yeah. But, you know, sometimes some of these parents, they're unable to cook for their children during that period of time. What would you suggest they do?
I suggest, first of all, nobody don't go to no fast foods because that's the worst thing that could ever happen to us. I suggest that you buy fruit, and by the time you finish eating grapes and watermelon and honeydew, you're not actually hungry anymore, but you didn't have to cook, and mission accomplished. You're not hungry, and it's more healthier. So if you're actually making sandwiches, even eating cereal, even eating salads, fruit, that's what I suggest. So when you're in the grocery
store, I like that. Now, also, another thing, you know, we got to start cooking for our children a little bit more. All this fast food stuff is no good. It's no good. It's no good for our children.
No, it's not. It's not good for the adults either. So when we know better, we should be doing better anyway. You should spend 70% of your budget, your food budget, in the produce section. 70%. So anytime you start going into the inside aisles or dealing with processed foods and artificial flavors, and so this is not good for us anyway. So when you are actually going to the grocery store and that is live food, I suggest really that we try to grow as much as our food, because even when we're thinking we're eating healthy, we're still not eating healthy. So, you know, my first suggestion, and again, our case is the black farmers. We need to get as many people growing as whatever, even if you're putting things in pots. But, you know, that's the first option, is try to grow as much of your food as possible yourself without pesticides. Yeah,
absolutely. And, you know, that's that's one of the reasons why we know we got gardens down here. Even my good friend Dr. Times, he got gardens himself. But look, on the 28th, you're going to come back with the program so you can see, so people can see and see it, see some paperwork. And we're going to get paperwork out to people. So January 28th, you will be back at, on the 5 o'clock show to talk about this. So I really appreciate you. And look, I got to move on. But I want you to know we love you here. Happy holiday to you. And take care of yourself. And don't forget, put that on your calendar, January 28th.
Everybody put it on the calendar because we're going to be blowing the whistle. Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Blow the whistle. Blow the whistle. All right, young lady. All right, I didn't say it's going down. It's going down.
Yes.
Let me bring in my good friend, the one and only Dr. Donald Times. Talk to me, Dr. Times.
Well, I think I always love the lady coming before who tells us the right thing to do to unify. So today I have to say, you know, this is a heartbreak day. This is hiring day. What am I talking about, Pastor? Well, January 1st is the day when the African who was enslaved would learn if they're going to be rented out to another slave owner to try to help that slave owner get over the hump economically. So it was called Hiring Day, but the slaves and the enslaved Africans called it Heartbreak Day, because at that time families were broken up. Also, not just written out, the family members could be sold. So that's what we have to think about. When we have to think about Wall Street, everybody's familiar with Wall Street. On Wall Street, Reverend, what's on Wall Street? What is Wall Street known for?
Is it the, which one, the Black Wall Street the one with all the stocks?
Wall Street, the main Wall Street in New York. What is that known for? What's there?
I don't know. Tell me.
The stock exchange.
Yeah, stock exchange, right. Oh, I thought it was a catch question.
No. I was just asking for the listeners so that they would realize what I'm talking about. So I just talked about New Year's Day was called Heartbreak Day because the African would be rented out or sold on New Year's. Now, the selling of Africans took place, particularly in New York, where, you just said it, the stock exchange. The first stock ever sold in the United States was the African, was the slave. The stock exchange of New York Wall Street started with the selling of Africans. Let me repeat that. Wall Street started for the sole purpose of auctioning off, selling off black people. And in the basement of the stock exchange are the slave cells, the slave prisons, the rooms with the bars on them, are still there in 2024. So the stock exchange is our shame. The stock exchange is our shame. The stock exchange is our shame. Because we sold families. we broke up families. Well, things are better now. How are things better? The Dred Scott decision was never reversed. The Dred Scott decision was never reversed. The Dred Scott decision was never reversed. Well, what are you talking about? Well, you go back to 1856 and 1857, an enslaved African argued that once he was set free, that he was free, and then went all the way up and he sued, and it went all the way up to the Supreme Court. So when you look up in the Supreme Court of the United States, and Dred is D-R-E-D, 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 Scott, S-C-O-T-T, S-C-O-T-T, Dred Scott, what you will find, the judge says, the Supreme Court says, In 2024, what year did I say, Rev?
2024.
It says, persons of African descent cannot be, nor were ever intended to be, citizens under the United States Constitution. Let me say that again. This is the Supreme Court ruling. Persons of African descent cannot be, nor were ever intended to be, citizens of the United States Constitution. Last time. Persons of African descent cannot be, nor were ever intended to be, citizens of the United States Constitution, because Africans had their own continent, which is the largest continent in the world. Africans had their own governments, their own universities, their own school systems, their own hospital systems, their own legal systems. Mm-hmm. So therefore, they were kidnapped individuals who were stolen from their countries and therefore not intended to be citizens. That ruling is still in effect January 1st, 2024. Also what's still in effect is that the Constitution of the United States says that the African descent is three-fourths human. It's three-fourths human. It's three-fourths human. Therefore, the African not being a full human being is not fully entitled to the rights of the Constitution because they are a higher level of animal. They are, it was called chattel slavery, like cattle, so they were livestock that were more intelligent, like a chimpanzee, therefore, but they were not full humans. Therefore, chimpanzees do not have the right to full citizenship, nor does the African have a right to full citizenship. Therefore, as Donald Trump would say, that a three-fifths human, that is going to take, that they're supposed to take five Africans to make three votes. They're supposed to take five Africans to make three votes. So that was the compromise that was said because it's based on the number and size of your city, your county, your state, determine how many people you had in Congress, in the Senate, or in the House of Representatives. And if you were a slave state, there were more black people than there were white people, you would lose out. So, but if you considered your property as these subhumans, then you would be able to increase your numbers in the House of Representatives and the Senate. And that's why you have white southern states, slave states, have more voting power than the non-slave states of the North. Now, the other thing that we have to look at as we start off this new year, that since, number one, this was Heartbreak Day, that was supported by the Dred Scott decision, that was supported by the Constitution of the United States, and right now, today, we're three-fifths human, now we understand why Breonna Taylor there was a problem. We understand why Trayvon Martin there was a problem. We understand why Sandra Bland there was a problem. We understand that George Floyd there was a problem. The problem was that we could not prosecute them for full murder, but more the destruction of property. Because they were three-fifths human, they could not be prosecuted for killing a human being. So what they had to do is go to the 1964-1968 Civil Rights Act that says that they were violated in terms of not their human rights, but their civil rights. So the law officers who killed these people were charged with a civil rights violation and not the constitutional human rights violation. That's why you have the difference in the problems in the trial, because you're dealing with the civil rights issue when it comes to black people. But if it's a white person, if it's an Indian person, a Pakistani person, or a European person, then you're dealing with a human rights issue. So we got to get real for 2024 and say no more. We got to get real for 2024 and say no more. And we have to stop being liars. We have to stop being liars. We have to stop being liars. When we look at Obama, stop lying. He's an immigrant. Where was his daddy born? Kenya. Then you got a white chick that he did. That's an immigrant. Where did he grow up to go into school? He went over in the Muslim nation growing up in school. He's an immigrant. Just because we want to make his black skin our skin, no. He's an immigrant. So we've never had a descendant of an enslaved African in America as a president. We never had a descendant of an enslaved African in America as a president. And we have to stop lying for 2024, no more. The Kamala Harris chick, her dad was from Jamaica. Her mom was from India. Those are two immigrants. And during the civil rights movement, they got the hell out of Dodge and ran to Canada because they weren't identifying with this black stuff. So our children are looking at us to see if we're going to keep lying and pretending. Yeah, so what happened is she's in the house. She represents India. She represents Jamaica. She's the first Jamaican, first Indian vice president for the United States. But she's not the descendant of an enslaved African. And quoting the Dr. Claude Anderson and Joan Anderson, what we have to start talking about is the non-immigrant versus the immigrant, the native black, who we are, the descendants of enslaved Africans, versus our brothers and sisters who are the immigrants. See, they came over with a choice, and they came over with a passport or a visa. They had those three options: choice, passport, visa. We only had one option, which was chains. So the thing that we have to ask these brothers and sisters that we're getting ready to go into Martin Luther King was like, so from you being from India, what's your feelings about when your people from India were sold down in the basements of Wall Street? They ain't going to have an answer for you. That's the Chinese. So what was your take on the Chinese being sold down at New Year's in the basement of Wall Street, at the Wall Street Stock Exchange, the Chinese? They're not going to have answers. Because in the 1800s, the Chinese went to the Supreme Court and to fight that they would never be identified, associated, or affiliated with the African. The Chinese went to the Supreme Court to make sure that they would never be identified, affiliated, or associated with the African. Therefore, the Chinese came here. They came in with a choice. They came in with a visa, or they came up here with a passport, and they were allowed to own businesses. they were allowed to own land. They came here for the gold rush to get gold. That's why they ran on out there to California. So they don't have, now we're going to talk about the so-called Hispanic, who are so racist and that they divide themselves up with the white Hispanic versus black Hispanic. Look on your application.
Mm-hmm.
Look what it says.
Yep.
That they're so racist that they mm-hmm. identify whether you're black Hispanic or white Hispanic. You're just supposed to be Hispanic.
Yeah.
So ask them, where were they on Wall Street on New Year's Day, on the day that we call, as I said it, Heartbreak Day, where were they being sold? No, they can't answer you. And that leads up to the point that we're going to do Martin Luther King. No other race on Martin Luther King or discuss Martin Luther King on a platform or a podium. Anyone who allows another race to do that is a traitor to the black race. Any organization that allows another race to talk about Martin Luther King is a traitor to that race. I don't care if it's a homosexual organization, an LGBT organization, Hispanic organization, Chinese, Arab, Asian. No. You have no rights to open or speak or break your breath discussing Martin Luther King because you were not there. It was not your aunties getting their breath spit off by police dogs. You were not there when your uncle was getting hit by a billy club. It was not there when your mama got knocked down by the water hose from a fire hydrant. You were not there when your dad got shot protesting so he can sit in your toilet. You were not there. The homosexuals were in the bedroom doing their thing, but they were not there fighting for us. The Hispanics were not there, but they were against us, trying to be on the white side. The Arab and the Asians were against us. You had Native Americans against us. You had the white churches against us. The white churches telling Martin Luther King that he was wrong. Then, to top all things off, that mm-hmm. the black church turned against Martin Luther King. The black church turned against Martin Luther King. What happened was that the black church told Martin Luther King that he was messing with their money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were talking about civil rights. We ain't talking about no human rights. King, the government ain't going to go for that.
No.
He said, look, King, look, man, you had that I Have a Dream in 1964. They lied us to march, even though they took our signs away from us and gave them the other signs. But we had that big day. And now, King, after that payday, man, you've been bankrupting us, man, by going into jails and stuff like this. Poor people marched on Washington to do like the original plan was. King, that wasn't our plan. We didn't plan that march on Washington. The grassroots did that.
Mm-hmm.
King, remember, Kennedy called us in at the Carlisle Hotel. Kennedy called us and met with us. He met with us, the Black Six. Remember, he gave us $250,000. And told the media to follow us around to give us airtime, King. King, we did our thing. Man, you can't go back and do this poor people march, King. Man, if you do this poor people march, man, you know, FBI will come on down hard on you, King. King said, I got to do God's will.
Amen.
King,
amen.
King did not know that once they banned him from speaking at all the black Baptist churches, and the only church that would allow him to speak was the Shrine of the Black Madonna with Reverend Clegg, he did not know when they removed the ban from him, where he was going to allow them to speak and preach for them in Memphis. He did not know at that time. A young guy coming from Chicago, Jesse Jackson, was an FBI informant. he did not know at that time that the young guy from Chicago, Jesse Jackson, was an FBI informant. He did not know that Jesse Jackson was an FBI informant. He didn't know that Ralph Abernathy had become an FBI informant. He didn't know that Ralph Abernathy had become an FBI informant. He didn't know that John Lewis had become an FBI informant. He didn't know that John Lewis had become an FBI informant. He didn't know that the Black Six had became the 5-6 that worked for the FBI. He didn't know that the 5-6 worked for the FBI. That Gene Roberts, light-skinned black man who worked for the FBI, who set up the assassination, Martin Luther King. So they use our own people to kill our kings.
Absolutely.
So that, what they did was remove the ban so he could speak, told the police to stay back. And one of the reverends, I forgot his name, he's a light-skinned guy, mustache, kind of salt pepper hair, but it was his job to get King in the right position on the balcony for the sniper to take the shot. And the code was when he stepped away from King, then the sniper was clear to take the shot. And King was alive, but if you look at the picture, his knees were bent. He was just not, a dead man has no strength, no tone, or nothing. He just lay flat. King was murdered at the hospital. Some white nurses said that the FBI came in, took over the case, took over King, and King looked like he died from what's called asphyxiation or suffocation. And it was said that the FBI spit on him and suffocated him. And you have to see.
Wow, that's powerful. That's powerful, Doc. I mean, you saying something on that. Wow.
What you have,
you know, I hope my listeners really, you know, really enjoyed that because, hey, I mean, you took them down. That was information they probably didn't even know.
Yeah. What you have to
yeah,
see.
Yeah, and don't forget, Al Sharpton was another one. He was a FBI informant. Well, he's one now.
But he's a current FBI informant. He's the one who went after Johnny Cochran. They planted him to try to take down Johnny Cochran. He was unsuccessful, but he was able to set up Johnny Cochran. So he was admitted as an FBI informant. So all your civil rights, human rights leaders, no, they're not human rights leaders. All your civil rights leaders now, 99.9% of them are FBI informants. 99% of all your black leaders right now, FBI informants. What you have to understand as I go move quickly is that, remember, the grassroots turned over the movement so that the black middle class would fight it in the legal system, reverse it, but the black middle class were house Negroes, were your African Nigerians, were your African Liberians, were your African Sierra Leoneans. Those wanted to get back to the plantation to keep the Chicken George house Negro status, that snowball status. That's what they did. They took us back. That's why we are actually in a worse state economically, educationally, socially than we were back in the 60s, back in the 70s when we had our breakthrough. We went backwards instead of forward with these leaders. And you also see that we went backwards religiously where our preachers are not preaching the gospel of freedom to set the captives free, but they're preaching the gospel of pay me. They're preaching the gospel of pay me with that prosperity, and the only one who's prospering, who's going to go in prosperity and the prosperity churching is those pastors. There's no way in hell Christ would have had several Bentleys. There's no way in hell that Jesus would have needed several mansions or homes.
Mm-hmm.
So any pastor and the small ones, what you do is you talk with the people. Big mega churches, there's no reason why you shouldn't have businesses where you're employing your congregation. There's no way that you should not have a school system where you're educating your congregation. There's no way that these mega churches or bigger churches that you don't have a supermarket to feed your people correctly. There's no way. There's no way that the black church every Monday, tomorrow's going to be Tuesday, we put in almost $2 million every Sunday to white banks. Overall, we have a $2 billion income from the black church in terms of the banking every year. So churches have a $2 billion collectively. Now, that's probably even more now. But those are the older stats that we are generating $2 billion a year in churches, and what do we have to show for it? Churches, you have to be called a question. Now, the small storefront church, that's not your job to build a hospital, to build a school. Your job is to make sure that every kid has something to eat, to rely on drugs or any place like that, that every kid has a roof over shelter. You can do small things that turn into big things. You can do small things that turn into big things. You can do small things that can turn into big things simply by doing little things. But the biggest churches have a responsibility to make sure that the banks are owned by the churches, that the school system is owned by the churches, that the supermarket is owned by the churches. You at least need to make sure that those three things are in place with them. When you are a mega church or a big church, that you come together and make sure we start taking care of our people, we're taking care of our flocks, because we're supposed to be the good shepherds representing the shepherd. And if you only taking care of yourself, then that means you are the Antichrist, that you are the satanic group, that you are the one that they spoke of in Revelation 13:18. When your people go there, so that is the man who the a man of perdition who's takes the people down to the path of hell. So you're the pastor toward hell. You know, whether you're male or female, pastoring toward hell.
Amen. Doc, I got to tell you, we out of time, but I want to tell you, you went down there through that, and I think it's crucial. And, wow, the information is very, very enlightening. This is going to be played on 10 different radio stations. We was having a little technical problem. Well, they was having a technical problem at the studio, and we couldn't get it resolved, and they finally got it resolved. But this is going to be played in 10 different cities across the country, and it's going to be played all during the week that people are going to be listening, and we're going to get ourselves ready because we have to call out these people that's out here doing. See, black folks scared to speak up. They, you shouldn't be saying this. I should be saying it, and you should be saying it too. But I love it, Doc. I love it. And I tell you this, I got to have you back, and we got to go down through this again. And my good friend King is with me. I love that man. He's he's always been an inspiration to me. And we're going to keep this thing moving and make this thing happen like never, ever before. Dr. Times, thank you, thank you, thank you. We have just ran out of time, Dr. Times. God bless you and God keep you.